Thank you, Susie. Track 3. What is it like to be a 21st century family living in an old country mansion? Angela Adams went to Thurning Hall near Dereham to meet Lara and George Lacey to find out.
Equidistant between our fine city and the sea is a world of Georgian elegance. A beautiful place where parkland meets lake and woodland meets walled garden. A place where the bohemian spirit of the current custodian flows from the foundations of this Norfolk country mansion. Built by the Elwin family around the 1720s, and also owned by the Gay family, Thurning Hall was mentioned in the Norfolk Chronicle of 1782. A genteel modern brick house, pleasantly situated at Thurning in Norfolk, consisting of a neat vestibule and staircase, two good parlours, wainscoted, small study, six bedchambers, closets, servants' garret, kitchen, and all convenient offices necessary for a small family. There is also a very good six-stalled stable, with a roomy hay chamber, coach house, dog kennels, with a granary over the same, small garden, spacious courtyard, plantations, handsome waters, well stocked with carp and tench. Contiguous to the house are 5 acres of rich meadow and pasture land to be left with the same. Requisitioned by the Home Office during the Second World War, the hall became a short stay home to 40 land girls. Fast forward to 1947, the property was acquired by Norfolk farmer G.W. Harold. Thurning Hall has been home to current owner Pauline Harold for over 7 decades. Pauline, 85, spends time maintaining her life's work, the garden she created, accompanied by her 2 King Charles Spaniels. She also shares her home with youngest daughter Lara, Lara's husband George, and their children. It's a place of relationships, stories, and perhaps a touch of magic. A little about Lara. Lara returned to Norfolk after time away travelling and now lives in her much-loved childhood home with her husband George, children Huey, Bertie, and Kitty, and rescue dog Candy, who is never far from her side. What was it like growing up at Thurning Hall?
When living in such an old house, some think you should be afraid of dark corners, ghosts, or extreme quiet. I was raised here from birth, so have never been afraid of her. I feel part of her and have a unique understanding of how she's pieced together. You could say she's set within my soul. Thurning has always been my sanctuary. Growing up, I didn't see myself as any different to anyone else. We had a Ferguson television set, a red dial telephone, and the obligatory brown sofa, all pretty standard living for the 80s. I guess the only thing that set me apart was not being allowed posters on the papered walls of my bedroom as they clashed with the 18th century living. To be honest, things haven't always been easy. Rewind to 2015. I experienced a breakdown following a difficult pregnancy with identical twins, which resulted in us losing one of them. I locked myself away at Thurning. She played a huge part in the healing process, getting me back to who I am today. Perhaps now, even more than ever, I feel at one with the building.
Tell me more about the television series and films which were shot on location at your home.
When I was 14, the BBC filmed a 3-part drama series here, A Fatal Inversion, written by Ruth Rendell, writing as Barbara Vine, featuring Douglas Hodge, a well-known face from a popular 80s series called Capital City, and the then new face, Jeremy Northam, who now has quite a film pedigree. The film crew literally took over the house and garden. Even the bathroom was commandeered, so Mum moved us into another part of the house. The only rooms which remained completely film-free were the kitchen and my bedroom, now my oldest son's room. Some of our furniture was stored at home and some off-site, and there was talk of moving us out completely, but Mum was wise to remain and keep guard over the goings-on. The series was set in the hot summer of 1976, but during filming the rain was persistent. Some days the crew filmed from early in the morning until late into the night. I was at school for the duration, which was highly distracting. At weekends, cast and crew returned to London, leaving us in a weird, unrecognisable home with huge cables left in place, which prevented us from shutting the doors. My memories of that time are of everywhere looking dark and overfull with furniture. Later, Carnival Films, on behalf of the BBC, shot Mill on the Floss, written by George Eliot here, starring the then-up-and-coming Emily Watson. Fortunately, there wasn't such a full takeover and fewer rooms were commandeered. Mum stood her ground and chose the papers for the walls too, which remain today. We'd only just been granted the wedding licence and things were taking off, so Mum offered viewings whilst filming was taking place.
Is it true the gardens underwent a makeover for filming?
Oh yes, our gardens underwent a huge makeover, as the walled gardens were simply grassed spaces. Prior to that, there were a kitchen garden during the 18th century, and when the Land Army were there too. When the Land Army departed, the gardens were left to grow and the brambles prevented trespassers. Grandad, at G.W. Harold, sent tractors to plough up the gardens and planted grass seed to provide pasture for sheep. This provided a huge blank canvas of grass, which gave the BBC the opportunity to re-landscape. Now, with its established trees and shrubs, the garden looks as though it's always been that way, when really it's only 30 years old.
When you left Norfolk to study theatre at university, did you ever think you'd return?
I left university in 2003, nowhere near mature enough to even fill out a form, so of course I came home to roost. Mum had everything under control regarding the civil ceremonies, which she'd been running since 1995. During my time at university, I'd come home in the holidays and help out with one or two weddings. I never thought I'd return for good. I was busy looking for work, travelling and living life to the full, until I met George during one return visit to Norfolk. We moved into Thurning in 2014, and so our new life here began.
What's it like holding weddings in your home?
The weddings are very occasional, and we operate a dry hire ethos, although I do have a preferred vendors list to assist couples with marquee hire and catering. We're not a commercial venue, so the weddings rub along nicely with our usual lives. What we offer doesn't warrant staff teams. It's just me and Candy the dog that help support our couples throughout their wedding planning journey. We give them a wonderful wedding in a beautiful space. You form relationships with the couples, and there's a huge sense of satisfaction hearing laughter echo around the great walls when the entire garden charges with energy from the gathering of guests.
What is the single achievement you're most proud of at Thurning?
Our 4G broadband network. Trust me, this is big news. We're a 21st century family living in an 18th century building. Nothing transmits through solid brick walls. I would also say the achievements at Thurning are slow and steady. We're a normal hands-on family with normal family quirks. We're down to earth, our feet are planted firmly on the ground, and we work hard to keep Thurning as it should be, a home and a slice of social history.
How do you see Thurning Hall evolving?
We're happy as we are, hosting a few select weddings each year. We've discussed opening annually to the public to showcase Mum's gardens, maybe even this August bank holiday, with a craft fair too, to raise money for research into motor neurone disease. We've also thought of offering one of the walled gardens for theatre or cinema experiences.
The life of George Lacey. The phrase man on a mission could have been created with George Lacey in mind, a true Norfolk-born, roll your sleeves up and get on with it chap. George may not have chosen his career as an historic house custodian, but his talent and knowledge of building restoration has proved invaluable. Lara refers to George as Thurning's personal surgeon, as he can often be found with a trowel and a bucket of lime mortar tending to the fabric of the building. How did you meet Lara?
We first met through mutual friends in Holt. Our paths crossed again 5 years later, again through friends, but it wasn't until Lara returned from travelling that we finally got together.
Tell me about your children.
With us Hughie, who's 14, Bertie's 10, and Kitty Lily, 6. Kitty Lily had an identical twin, Lily, who sadly died during the pregnancy, which was heartbreaking. I'm a non-identical twin and have empathy for what should have been.
How did you restore the former servants' garret?
Pauline decided that the servants' quarters, no servants in residence, needed serious TLC. The building was full of cement render and the lower roofs were set to disappear. We didn't have grand plans, we simply wanted a sympathetic restoration. The downstairs larders were no longer in use or needed, so they became our living space, mainly to allow for normal living away from the constant drafts and high ceilings. I started the work in 2013 and finally finished in 2017. It's one of my biggest achievements to date. I really bonded with the house during that time and taught myself new skills too. I'm also teased by my friends for being a lime lover. But honestly, the simplicity of lime mortar as a product is amazing. No damp-proof courses, no fancy injecting, just simply using materials which are meant to be part of an historical building. Now we have a firmed up, dry north elevation just as it looked back in the day. The only servants here these days are us.
You're a talented woodworker. What have you made around the hall?
Carpentry comes with being a decent bricklayer. Lara takes advantage of my skills. She thinks of all sorts, and I engineer it for her. I've crafted bench seating for the gardens out of fallen yew trees. A giant double-seated swing, which is welded and bolted to an oak tree in the party garden. A huge wedding arch from old roof timbers and a dry bar. Oh, and a bespoke field shelter for our two Shetland ponies. The shelter couldn't be standard, as Lara wanted it to look cute and pretty, with pillars to allow for strings of fairy lights. The list goes on, along with the orders.
Do you have a favourite hideaway at Thurning, one you enjoy escaping to for a quiet moment?
We don't have quiet moments. As I'm sure you can imagine, it's always full on here. Grass cutting alone is a full-time job. There's acres of it, and the house is a total attention seeker. Add to this the children and animals, and it is non-stop drama. My time out, and one which I've not enjoyed for many months, is my seat at Carrow Road with my boys.
Do you have future restoration projects in mind for Thurning?
Repairs are always ongoing. That's the beauty of the place and how an old house should be. I believe you should live in a building, warts and all. We do plan to restore the woodland with native species over the coming years, and the lake too, as it once had a leisure garden on the island. It'll be a slow and steady process. Exciting, yet daunting.